How's everybody doing tonight? You know better than to say anything else, right? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray over the word. Father, we just love you tonight, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit in this place. And I thank you, Father, that you reveal what you want to reveal to the hearts of each and every one of us, because you know what we need. We thank you for your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, this message, you know, I'd been praying about, you know, what to minister on. You know, I don't just pray just before I minister, but like all week long or last week, and what does God want me to, what direction does he want me to take next? And it was funny, I had a, what do they call them? A TikTok. I don't even have TikTok, but somehow it comes on my phone through Instagram or something. But I follow Dr. Caroline Leaf. Do you know who she is? She's a Christian neuroscientist. And anyhow, it was like in the middle of the night, and it just came on. And I had been, you know, praying about some things even in my own life to make some corrections so that I could see a move of God in different areas in my life. And it was funny. This is what came on when it came on. And then she began to, she said, what you think about the most grows. And that's all she said. She said, she said a few other things, but those words popped out at me. So God can use TikTok. He can use anything. Amen. But what you think about the most grows, and immediately I knew what God was talking to me about. Not just about, it wasn't about tonight, it was for me personally. And I knew that if I needed these things, that you needed a refresher course on some of these things too as well, amen? And so she is a Christian neuroscientist. She studies the brain, and I'm sure some of you have heard of Dr. Avery Jackson on some of the Christian broadcasting, and he also studies the brain, and they study the pathways, and we're going to talk about a little bit of this in the coming weeks, but from the time we're born, there's like, and I'm just going to say it in my kind of summary, okay? We'll explain it in weeks ahead, but there are pathways in our brain. There are like roads that have been built over years and years of thoughts, years of the way things that we were taught being brought up, things that we were taught in school, things that people said about us, you know, you're ugly, you're skinny, you're fat, you know what I mean? Whatever, you're a crybaby, whatever things that were said when you were growing up. And these things built roads in our minds. But how many of you know, like when we got born again, Jesus didn't leave us without help. Amen? He left us with his word, which is incorruptible and full of power. And so, even in the natural, what they say, it wasn't on this particular TikTok or anything, but I've read her books before, Who Switched Your Brain and things like that. But even in that, in the natural, neuroscientists, now listen to me, because this is going to help some of you, even you young people. They said, even in the natural, you can turn those pathways around. So if you're believing some bad things about yourself, if you're believing nothing's impossible, if you're believing I'm never going to make it or things always go bad, those things can be changed, amen, by the word of God that is full of power, and it has the power to change things, amen? So what she said was this. She said, whatever you think about the most grows. So if you keep thinking about how you feel terrible, or how you feel, whatever emotion it is, it's going to make it bigger and bigger. So whatever you think about grows. If it's a bad thing, if it's a bad feeling, it's going to get bigger. If that's the forefront of your mind, if that's what you're thinking about, I'm always going to fail, I'm never going to make it, or you know, I'm never going to be an overcomer. Whatever it is that you're thinking about, it says, she says, whatever you continue, it will grow. And if you keep thinking about how you feel terrible or how you feel, whatever emotion it is, it's going to make it bigger, because you're going to keep going around and around in circles, and you are giving it more energy. So you're adding more energy to those bad thoughts. that you've been thinking. I'll never get a good job. I'll never do this. I'll never be accepted. All of those things. So what you need to do is see an emotion. When you get a strong emotion, when there's a stronghold, when you can't seem to break it, when you seem, or, you know, like, I always get sick, or I'm sick, or the devil puts fear, you know, you become fearful that you're going to die, fearful you're going to do something wrong, fearful that you can't please everybody, whatever that emotion is, what you need to do is see that emotion as a signal, because that's what it is. It's a signal. And whatever you are feeling, it's telling you some information. In other words, what is the data that this emotion is attached to? How many of you know what data is? Okay? Because no emotion is just floating around. It's always attached to some kind of data that's been put inside your brain. Some kind of information. That emotion is a signal. It's coming from somewhere. It's attached to some kind of information. And then once you find that information, the way you change it, the way you change that emotion that you keep on fighting, whether it's anger, whether it's fear, whatever it is, the way you change it is by putting in different data. And we have the most powerful data in the world, in the Word of God. And anyhow, when this, she didn't say all of that. I did a little bit of study, followed up a little bit on it. But when she just made that statement, I caught myself. I woke up and I went, oh my goodness, I'm not going to tell you what it is yet, but I will if you keep coming. And I thought, I can't believe I've been thinking that way. Because you know what? We read the Word of God and we know the truth, but we keep saying and thinking the wrong things. And until we come into agreement with the Word of God, you think you're going to change things. And sometimes by chance or in the natural, you know, if you're a fighter, sometimes you can change certain things. But through the Word of God, you can change everything. Amen? And I see people going in circles over and over fighting the same thing, whether it's lack or sickness or stress or anxiety or fear, and it's and they just, you know, oh, Pastor Judy, well, I tried, you know. But you don't try with the Word of God, because the Word of God works. So I'm going to just, this is just like a little introduction tonight, or hopefully I don't go too long, but I'm going to give you some practical steps on how to change those things, okay? Do you want that? How would you like to just change those emotions that keep coming to you, that keep stirring you in the wrong directions, that you wake up in the night and you think, and you know that they're not right? Romans chapter 12, let's look at it. We're going to talk a little bit about renewing the mind. You say, oh, I've heard this before. You know what? I pray that you hear it fresh and new tonight. Amen? Because the mind has a lot to do with it. We're a spirit man. That's who we are. And we live in a body. This is according to the Bible. I'm not teaching on spirit, soul, and body tonight. But we're a spirit man. The spirit man's going to go to heaven when we leave this earth if we're saved and born again. If you're not, it's going to go the other place. But we live in this body, which is our clothes, and we have a mind. Our mind is our soul. It's our thought. It's a part of our mind is part of our soul. And so our spirit man is born again. But our flesh, you know, like my spirit became brand new. But my flesh didn't become new when I got saved. I didn't get new teeth and new flesh and new hair, you know. I didn't get new thinking all at once. But we have to learn to change our thinking. Amen? And so let's look at this, Romans chapter 2. Chapter 12, verse 2, sorry. And I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation first. I know I sent you a couple of translations there. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed. Say transformed. We'll talk about that word in just a minute. It doesn't say to be conformed. It says be transformed, be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit, through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Most people that you talk to today would not say they're living a beautiful life. But that's God's will for us. Let's look at it in the Amplified. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs." That's what this age is. "But be transformed," and that word transformed means changed. "Changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and new attitude." You're born again now. There's new ideals. There's a new attitude. There's a new and living way. Amen? "So that you may prove for yourselves." See, you need to prove it for yourselves. "What is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. And that word transformed mean, where it says, "Be ye transformed," it says, it means to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, or character. People ought to know that you serve the living God. They ought to know it by your character. They ought to know it by your change. Amen? But when we start, a lot of us are saying, "Man, I want to live for God. I want to be a Christian. I just keep blowing it, or I keep sinning." Listen, you're never going to be sinless. I'm sorry to give you that news tonight. I know that you want to be. Jesus was the only sinless person in the world. But we do want to, the Bible says, to be imitators of Him, but we keep working at being like Him. Amen? We don't want to sin. We don't want to do things that we shouldn't do. But that's why the blood of Jesus covered our sins. He didn't just cover them. He washed them away, never to be remembered again. And a lot of times that keeps people from serving God. It keeps them in condemnation. It keeps them from receiving their healing. It keeps them from receiving their healing or their deliverance. Listen, 1 John 1:9 says that He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that scripture is to the church. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, don't go run out sinning, but I'm just telling you. You're forgiven when you do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I get mad at my husband every day, and I got to go repent. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at this. So we're talking about something. If you continue to think the things that you're thinking that are keeping you in bondage, or fearful things, or, you know, I'm sick, or I'm dying, or I don't like myself, or you continue to think that other people think bad things, whatever your thought process is, okay, your mind needs to be transformed. Amen? It says here in Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, "And set and fix your minds." What do you think "fix your minds" mean? Fix your minds. Set. This translation says set, but a lot of them say fix. Fix your minds. Set your minds. How many of you ever set an alarm? Right? Well, we got to set our minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. For as far as this world is concerned, listen to me now, this is scripture, you have died, and your new life, your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. You have a new life hidden with Christ in God, but you'll never know the benefits of that. You'll never know who you are in Christ. You'll never know. Do you ever look at some Christians? And man, they're just as happy as anything. They're just always happy. They just expel that joy. You know, sometimes we will go to conventions or pastors meetings and say, you know, and there's some people that they just, hey, you know, they're just all, you know, we walk in, you know, kind of feeling intimidated, you know, by some of the, you know, the bigger preachers and stuff, like you just kind of, but you know, and we'll go, they're always so like happy and joyful. And, but you know what? You come to find out they're constantly in the Word of God. And they're obeying the scripture that says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." And a lot of times we feel like something's wrong with being happy. Well, I don't want people to think I'm happy because they just need to know that I'm going through something. You know what? That's just so that's so from the enemy. That's so wrong. God wants you to experience his joy. Amen? Well, when is the last time you fixed your mind on something? When is the last time you fixed your mind on one scripture? Just one scripture. Maybe in your finances or maybe in your job. You know, whatever it is, you know, just getting one scripture. My God supplies all of my needs according to it. Maybe you're going through a financial situation. My God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm a tither. God rebukes the devourer. The windows of heaven are open. Blessings are being poured out upon me. When have you... Now, I'm saying that, you know, like, yeah, I can remember that. But what about just sitting down and thinking on those scriptures? You know, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I am healed by the stripes. Just one scripture. I'm not asking you to memorize the whole Bible. But one scripture. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And many of you have heard my testimony about my deliverance from fear. But it took a while. It took a while of me meditating on that. And then that one day, the light went on and I realized that the devil had been lying to me all that time. I was so mad at the devil. When I talk about it now, I just feel like I just want to cry because I out of joy because I'm so set free from that. You know, here's, you know, a pastor's wife who believes in the word of God, believes God's not giving her spirit of fear and can't get in an elevator. Are you serious? Walk up 15 flights of stairs. I was in real good shape back then. Finally convinced him to move us to the sixth floor. But even that was a lot. But you know, fear can really play havoc on you, can it? But just say one scripture. What are you fighting? And how would you like to see the miracle working power of God work in your life? We talk about, this is an Ephesians 3:20 year, and it says, he will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within you. And the power comes from the word of God. See, this is not just a Sunday thing, it's an everyday thing. And we can't wait for the circumstances. We don't wait for the circumstances around us to change before we start changing our mind to the word of God. Many people are immersed in negativity, and the only thing that'll change that is the word of God. Everything that comes out of it's a negative statement. You know what? Let's move that chair and it'll look good over here. Oh, no, I don't think that'll look good there. You know. You know, it just, no matter what you say, you know. Oh, I don't know what to do with my hair. Oh, do this. Oh, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. You know, we just some people, just they're just immersed in negativity. It just comes out. It's because the thing that changes that is the word of God. Amen? By faith, this is so important. By faith, we are not to rely on our circumstances, but we are to start to believe what God's word says and act like it's true. You're going to have to get to a place, if you're down to your last penny, or if the doctor has given you the worst diagnosis, or whatever it is, you're going to have to get to the place where, by faith, you're going to believe God's word is true and above what they're speaking to you. It doesn't mean, you know, people say, when you say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, but the doctor's giving you a bad diagnosis, it doesn't mean the sickness doesn't exist. But you're speaking to that thing. And you're calling those things that are not as though they are. And you're saying, no, I'm choosing to believe God's word. When you start operating the word of God in faith, that starts going to work. Then things begin to change. And that's going to be important in this renewing of your mind. But a lot of times we say, oh, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. God's not giving me fear. But we haven't received it. You know? And that day when that revelation, I just walked into that elevator and I still felt the fear. I still felt it. But then God gave me another revelation not long after that, and he said, I'm always with you, and your angels are. And I thought, man, what do I have to be afraid of? Right? Amen? So, and you know, do you know it takes the same amount of energy to be positive as it does to be negative? So you might as well get on the positive side. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5. 10, verse 5. I want you to know this. Our thoughts, we can catch them. We can catch our thoughts. Your thoughts do not have to be out of control. You can control your thoughts. People say, well, I can't, you know, I can't help it. They just come. But if you're not putting any word in there, you're just going to receive them. You've been lied to that you cannot control your thoughts. You can control your thoughts, and you're going to see that in the word. But let's look at this in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 5. You have to stop believing that you cannot control your thoughts. You can bring them in subjection to the word of God. It says in verse 5, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God. This is in the Passion Translation. We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. You can capture that thought. You can insist that it bows its knee. You can insist, no thought, you do not belong to me. But you have to have the word of God that answers that thought. When thoughts are coming at you. And, you know, you can take one lie at a time from the devil. You know, he'll lie to us about our children. He just wants to put all kinds of crazy stuff. Because that's where the battle is. The battlefield is in the mind. That's where it's at. But it says, let's read this in the, I thought I had that in another translation. I guess I didn't. I want to read that second part again. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought. We insist that it bows in obedience to the Anointed One. Our thoughts, we can catch them. We can capture them to the obedience of Christ. And this is what the Bible says. Amen? We can control our thoughts. This is where we should start. See, a lot of times people think our thoughts are out of control. We can't control our thoughts. We absolutely can control our thoughts. We absolutely... Jesus talked a lot about thoughts. You know, he talked about, you know, if you think a thought, it's like doing that. There's a few things he talked about in the New Testament. I don't want anybody to get under condemnation, but you might know what I'm talking about. Amen? But you can control your thoughts. And this is where we need to start. We need to start by catching those negative thoughts that go contrary to the Word of God. What is it? What is it that's plaguing you? What thoughts are coming to you all the time? What is it that you wake up in the middle of the night and you're thinking about that's not of God? Or you know, I shouldn't do this. I should go here. Or you're rattled with fear in so many different areas. What is it? You got to catch that thought. You need to write it down and go and find a scripture that attacks that thought. And today, you guys are so blessed. Listen, for years, like after I got saved, we didn't have the internet. You can Google now, you know, scriptures on that come against fear, scriptures that come against insecurity, scriptures that make me feel like crap, that will make me not feel like crap or something, you know. You can Google anything. But for years, when we first got born again, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have cell phones. We studied, we had 100 Bibles in our house. We'd go out and buy another Bible. We got to get this study Bible, and we got to get this one. And how many remember the Thompson Chain Study Bible? Anybody still use that? I mean, we just, you know, so we would have to search and study. Today, if people don't get it quick, they're like, oh, well, whatever. And then they're living in their defeat. They're living in a place of defeat. They're not a conqueror. They don't have a victory mentality. The joy of the Lord is not their strength. I even remember that. I remember there was a point when I was like weak and tired, and oh, I'm so tired, da, 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 and going through things. And the Holy Spirit just brought that scripture because I've known that scripture, but I didn't put it to work. And when he brought that to me, the joy of the Lord is your strength. My joy was being stolen. Because when you're tired and you're miserable and you're fighting battles, it'll steal your joy. So you got to find those scriptures that talk about rejoicing in the Lord always. How about when you're feeling miserable? How about when you're feeling depressed? The Bible says oppression is far from you. Jesus took care of depression and oppression. He took it, and the world is being attacked by it. Our young people are being attacked by it. Suicide is like the top, one of the top three reasons, one of the top three, how am I trying to word that? That most teenagers, that's how they die. And it comes from depression and oppression, and they allow those seeds to come in, and they start believing what the enemy says, and it's just a bunch of lies. And so you got to deal with one lie at a time. A lot of times we're saying, you know, sometimes Pastor Ed and I we'll talk and we'll go, we need a million things, don't we? You know, even when we're already in the Word, you know. But I felt like the Holy Spirit just take care of one lie at a time. And deal with it and pull down those strongholds, capture those thoughts, refuse to think lack, refuse to think sickness, refuse to think defeat, refuse to think those things. But you can't just refuse in the flesh. You got to get the Word of God in you so that the Word will produce the power that will cause you to overcome. Amen? Are you getting something out of this tonight? Hallelujah. One by one. Because, it could be overwhelming. But one thought at a time, one lie at a time, catching it, submitting it to the Word of God, getting these scriptures out. When you hear a message that touches you, whether it's in this church or when you listen to podcasts or listen to other ministers, but it's a message, grab a hold of that message and listen to it one time, two times, three times. Write down the scriptures. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Amen? Maybe it's a worship song that you listen to. Oh, I love this. Write down the words. Maybe God is speaking to you through that worship song. Amen? Look at this, Philippians 4:8. I have 3 minutes. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such thing. Over and over in the Word of God, God is wanting to help us. Amen? The Holy Spirit wrote this Word of God. God put this, we call it the Word of God. These are things that are supposed to help us. Amen? And He's telling us, you got to think on these things. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. It says this, Joshua 1:8, in the Living Bible, this isn't the Living Bible. I hope you guys get the right scripture. There's the Living Bible, and then there's Living Bible. Isn't that crazy? This is Living Bible. And it says, constantly remind the people about these laws, and you yourself must think about them every day and every night so that you will be sure to obey all of them, for only then will you succeed. The Bible tells us here in Philippians chapter 4 and in Joshua 1:8, it commands us, amen, you shall meditate on the Word day and night. The Word of God wouldn't tell us to think on these things unless we could, if we could not control our thoughts. He wouldn't tell us. God wouldn't say, think on these things, meditate on things. If we could not, we allow our thoughts to be out of control. But God's telling us we can control our thoughts. We are to meditate on them. We are to think on these things. You see, what you feed your mind, what you feed your mind on, that'll become your mindset. And that's the next thing the other thing I want to talk about. Let me see how much more I got here. Not too much. You got to be careful what you're feeding on, no matter who you are. Movies. Well, that's okay. That movie's okay. This is okay. Who's judging it? What are you feeding on? And I'm not saying that you can't watch a movie. I'm not preaching against movies or anything. Pastor, when he went to the movies when he was young, he thought Jesus was going to come and he was going to go to hell. I mean, it was pretty extreme back then, you know? And I still is in some churches today. But movies, video games, things, you know what? The world is very lawless right now and very immoral. And whatever you feed on, if you're feeding on everything else more than you're feeding on the Word of God, that's where your thought pattern is going to go. There will be no power to overcome. You can go to people and friends and pastors, and they can counsel you, but nothing will cause you to overcome like the Word of God will. Nothing will. And people are feeding on, one movie is 2 hours. And when I sit and watch a movie for 2 hours, I feel like, oh my gosh, 2 hours. I just watched a movie for 2 hours. That's like time, that precious time that I could have been feeding my mind on something. And I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, it just amazes me how our time can go by. What are you feeding on? What are you feeding on the internet? What are you feeding on listening to other people's ideas and reasonings and opinions? What are you feeding on? Are you feeding on the Word of God? That's the most important thing. What you feed on will become what you think. How many of you have been feeding on the news? Don't raise your hand. You know? Listen, I mean, there's been times, it was for a while there, I was getting, oh my gosh, what's this? What's going on, you know? You got to catch yourself. Because fear comes, because the news right now, you know, years ago, news would be bad, but every once in a while you get a good report. Now you listen to the news, and you're hoping for a good report, and there ain't any. And if you go to bed on the news, you're in trouble. The more ungodly things you put into your mind, it will affect your subconscious mind, and it will gravitate towards that. You've got to feed your mind with the Word of God. I'm not saying you have to spend 5 hours a day, but how about one scripture? One thought. What is it? What do you need the victory in? What do you need to overcome? What would you like to see yourself be successful in? I mean, you ask Pastor Ed, I use the Word on everything. You know, if somebody says I can't do something, you know, many of you heard my testimony. If you know, years ago they used to have Anthony's Pier 4. In Boston, and we came back here, and we needed to make money. We were starting a church, and I was going to these jobs and making, like, nothing, and I was working daytime. I was working for, how many of you, I don't know if it was Kelly or something. I was working all these temporary office jobs, but, you know, we didn't have any kids, so I figured, I'll work two jobs, and somebody said, I said, I need to make good money. And they said, I bet they make good money at Anthony's. And I said, Anthony's? Where's Anthony's? You know, I'm Pier 4. And I said, well, I said, really? I said, I'm going to go there and apply. Oh, they'll never hire you. They don't hire a woman. That's all I needed to hear. I went there. I said, I prayed. I said, God, I thank you for favor. I thank you I'm going to get this job. I could tell you testimony after testimony, but things like that that most people would never pray over is what I'm trying to say. I walked in. There was a guy standing there, and he said, can I help you? I said, yes, I'd like to apply for a job. And I wasn't as educated as I might be now. I was just a young whatever, you know, just, hey, I want a job. Anyhow, so I walked in, and he said, well, let me get you an application. And he started asking me questions, and I told him about my experience, and I worked in Lake Havasu and the resort city, and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, when can you start? And you know who the person was? It was Anthony himself. I didn't know that. But that's what God will do. He'll set you up with the president of the company if he has to. He'll set you up when you make phone calls to places with the right people. He'll set you up in your business with the people that will pay you millions to take care of them. But you got to believe him for it. Amen? Same thing with sickness and disease. Even as far as having my children. We couldn't have kids for 5 years. Back then, you didn't go for all of these things that they have now and whatever they call it, in vitro and all of that. It was like you had to stay in bed for 9 months. And I said, I'm not doing that. And I prayed and I said, God, I said, we really want kids. But if for some reason we're not supposed to happen, you know the future, I will never let this bother me or affect me. And I said, but if you can handle it, Lord, if I'm going to have one, can I please have one before I was 30? And my son was born 6 days before I was 30. And I'm telling you, some of you, people that have been here for years, have heard these testimonies over and over, but some, how many of you didn't hear that testimony? You know, some of you need to hear those little things. Praying for a house with a chocolate brown carpet. But listen, I got it too. Seriously. We won't tell that story tonight, but we'll tell it again sometime, I'm sure. But what I'm trying to say to you is, you got to believe God. And if I didn't believe Mark 11, 23 and 24, if I didn't believe John 5, 14 and 15, and just started believing God for, if I ask anything according to your will, you got to change that God cares about you. Amen? Okay. Two scriptures and we're done. 1 Peter 1:23 says this. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. For through the and worship team can come. For through the eternal and living word of God, you have been born again. How many in here have been born again? Saved. It says, and this seed, we were born again by the word of God, right? The Bible says that, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. If you believe that he died and he rose again from the dead, he took care of your sins. It says, this seed that he planted within you can never be destroyed, but will live and grow inside of you forever. And in the New King James, it says it's an incorruptible seed. The seed of the Word of God that says, by his stripes I am healed, that says my God will supply all my needs, that says you must be born again. The seed of the word of God, it says right here, it is incorruptible. It is indestructible. Nobody can destroy it. So you're going to take this word that's incorruptible one lie at a time and attack it with the word of God that's incorruptible, and it'll destroy what the enemy has tried to do. And in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word that God speak is alive and full of power. So you've got this dynamite in your Bible. We used to lift up our Bibles and say, you've got this dynamite in your Bible. Now we lift up our computers. You got this dynamite in your Bible. And there's so many free Bibles, you can't, you don't even have to go out and buy anybody a Bible now. Just download your version, You've got this incorruptible seed full that can't be destroyed, and it's full of power. So what is it that you need to take care of? What is it that's plaguing you? What is it? And we're gonna be talking about this. We're gonna continue the series after Easter because I want to help you. I believe that if you can get your thinking straight and line it up with the Word of God, you'll see the power of God at work in your life. God will show up in your situation. God will, miracle after miracle. Even ye and your household shall be saved. The devil's telling you, your kids will never have the victory. They'll never get saved. This is never going to happen in your family. The world is never going to change. The devil just wants to lie and keep you defeated. But God's got promises that you can claim. And all of the promises of God are yes and amen. We listen to this we listened to this healing, I want to say tape, but it's YouTube. We loop it all night long, and it's on healing. And it's by Dodie Osteen, who was healed, who was told to die. She was going to die in 3 weeks from metastatic cancer of the liver. They went home, they prayed, and, you know, it just goes through the testimony, and she shares the scriptures that she confesses every morning, and anyhow, that was 40-something years ago, and she's still alive, but the doctors absolutely said that she would need a miracle. But this is what she said that day when they came home, and she said she always remembered her husband saying this, John Osteen, who was Joel's dad. He always would say, store up the seed in your heart so that when you need it, it will be there. Don't wait until you go through a situation. Don't wait until you have to hit fear. Don't wait until sickness comes. Don't wait until something happens. Get the word of God stored up in your heart now. A lot of people say, well, I don't need that. No, you need the word of God. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. You know, just the fact that knowing when I walked in that elevator that God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That when I walked in, he was with me. How do you think that deals with the fear? It destroyed it. Don't wait. So we listen to that all the time, and we get all these nuggets. We wake up in the morning with a different revelation. Oh, I don't think I remember hearing that one night. Well, half the night we're sleeping, you know. But you wake up in the middle of the night, and you hear her say how if she has to get an airplane at 4:30 in the morning, she'll get up at 2:30 in the morning and go over, because, you know, getting ready, and go over every one of, she has these 40 scriptures that she goes over every day concerning healing. 40-something years ago. And I just encourage you, you know, the word of God is not just something on Sundays. It's not just something, you know, oh, I love my Bible, I love Jesus. If you really want help, this will change your life. This will bring you into your dreams. It's not just for what you need, but it's for what you want. God wants to give you the desire. Who do you think's putting those dreams in your heart? Big dreams. God's putting those dreams in your heart. Amen? And a lot of times we're just struggling along, and we don't ask God to help us because we just think, well, we can handle it. But I'm telling you, he wants to help you with those dreams. You know, that took a lot for Pastor Ed. We had to get all the religiosity out. We would think, well, God will meet our needs, but he didn't really want us to dream that we want to be something, whatever. But he does. He does. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to just ask you tonight to find one, just one lie, one thing that's going on in your life. And go and search the scriptures. And begin to feed on the scriptures and store that in your heart. Maybe you don't feel like, maybe you never feel loved. You need to go, there's so many scriptures, for God so loved you. He loved you. Maybe it's on insecurity. You know, you need to find the scriptures. Who I am in Christ. We've given away books and books and books. It's just whatever it is. You find those scriptures, and you put them to work in your life. And you watch. You watch. You'll see. I remember when I started seeing God move, I'm like, oh my gosh, chocolate brown carpet, 3 bedrooms, exactly what I prayed for. Oh my goodness. Like it was a big surprise, but that's what I've been praying for. And then when God does it, we're like, oh my gosh. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One more thing, worship team's coming. If you're here tonight, I'm gonna encourage you to receive Jesus. I was 23 years old when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When I found out that he forgave me of every sin, the Bible says that when we leave this earth, we're going to go somewhere. We're not going to go to sleep and cease to exist. We're either going to be in heaven, or the Bible says hell. I know a lot of people don't like to hear about that, but it's in the Bible, and it's very clear. And the only way to get into heaven, it's so easy. It's not about how good you are. It's just receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Jesus, the Bible says, took all of your sin away. And his blood washed you clean. And when you receive him and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're saved and you're going to heaven and you're forgiven. And it's as simple as a prayer. I know it sounds crazy, but it's that simple. I want you to bow your heads right now. And if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, this is the night for you. Amen? I'm going to ask everybody to say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now, and I thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Jesus, I thank you that you chose to forgive me. And I believe tonight that you are my Lord and you are my Savior. Come into my heart. Live inside of me. And I thank you now. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer, you know what? Every sin has been washed away, and you're on your way to heaven. Let somebody know about that tonight, okay? Before you leave, we're going to close with some worship. Are you ready to worship? I preached longer than I wanted to, but that's just me, I guess. I love you guys.